Hi, everyone, and welcome to Retro Rewatch, the show where Patrice Brendamore and I, and I'm Jeff Gamet, we talk about shows that she has seen, but I have not, and share our perspectives on what we're watching. And for those of you that have been listening for a while, we are still doing Stargate SG-1. And today, I think, will be really interesting because today's episode of Stargate is Season 2, Episode 22, the season cliffhanger for Season 2, Out of Mind. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well-ish. It's hot here in Vienna. It is summer, finally. So I'm roasting, I'm baking. The wind sometimes, like, Vienna is quite windy usually, but the wind is quite hot, so it feels like you're opening the stove or the oven, actually. Like you get that hot air in your face. That's what it felt like when I went for a walk for lunch. So yeah, but I'm good. How are you?
I believe it's the Norwegians who say I'm upright and not crying. Which I think is just a great saying,
perfect.
Regardless of how you're feeling.
Yes.
unless you're not upright or you're crying.
Yes. That's actually very German to say, oh, I'm alive.
I'm alive. Yeah. But the day is going great because I'm hanging out with you.
Good. Yeah. And we have an not gonna lie, interesting episode in front of us.
I'm really looking forward to discussing this one.
Yeah, there's some thoughts at the end, but let's talk about the production notes for now.
Yes, and you always find the interesting production notes. Yeah. So what do we have this week?
All right, air dates, February 10th, 1999 in the UK and March 12th, 1999 in the United States. IMDb rating, surprisingly okay, 7.1, of course, not on the same level as last week, but well, not bad.
1969 is a really hard episode to top.
That is true, and that's the surprising part about this one. Jonathan Glassner and Brad Wright wrote it. Also, the teleplay credit goes to Jonathan Glassner, so producers wrote it, and the director...
When I saw that the credits were rolling at the beginning, I was like, oh, good. We're in for another awesome episode.
Yeah.
Because they tend to give us solid episodes.
They tend to, but sometimes it's also, okay, we needed to save some money and not have another writer.
Okay, there's that too.
Yeah. I'm not sure which one of that. These two options we have this time, maybe a little bit of both. Directed by none other than, we know him quite well, Martin Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of episodes by him, also usually good ones. Not very heavy on guest stars, but we do get some.
Mm-hmm.
We get, of course, Dr. Janet Frazier. We
get always a high point in an episode.
High point, and I really like that she's showing up a lot. So like she is a secondary character, but she does pretty consistently show up in the guest stars. Mm-hmm. We have a return of Suanne Braun as Hathor. That is the, as far as I remember, no, it's not the last of her episodes, but there's not too many to come, as far as I remember at least. We have Tom Butler as Major General Trofsky. We have Samantha Ferris as Dr. Sarah Raleigh. And she is actually best known for her role as Ellen Harvell in Supernatural.
Another show I haven't seen.
Another show you haven't seen. Okay, we have to add that to the list. We have, of course, T.M. Sendelak as Technical Sergeant Ziplinski. He shows up all the time. He has so many credits. He's like every season, I think, throughout. And we have Fraser Aitchison as Hathor's Jaffa, uncredited, but it's the first, and that's why I noted it down, the first of many uncredited appearances. He does show up also pretty consistently throughout the show as different characters. Tidbits. Not too much we have this time. We have a German title. I like this one because it's kind of ominous. It's Die Höhle des Löwen, the lion's den. Part one.
Okay, but that's okay. Finally, not
completely
a spoiler title.
Not completely.
I mean, mild maybe. Spoiler
mild,
title.
Mild, maybe, but not too bad. I actually wrote it. I actually noted down the French one. Because that I actually liked very much, and I wish the German title had been that poetic. Because it is Après un long sommeil. I hope I didn't butcher that completely. After a long sleep.
Okay.
The episode,
I like that.
Mm-hmm, the episode also marks the first appearance or usage and or usage of a CGI Gore World symbiote.
That probably accounts for why it looked...
so much better.
Different. Yeah.
I mean, the old practical was pretty bad usually. So.
Yeah.
Yes. The episode is actually inspired by the film 36 Hours from 1964.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a couple little things for later, but yeah, that's it. As I said, not very heavy on interesting parts. Other than that, it is a clip show.
So I'm now looking up 36 Hours.
Mm-hmm.
James Garner, Eva Marie Saint, Rod Taylor, John Banner, Alan Napier, Werner Peters. So, like, names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, let's see. Oh, okay. I just looked at the synopsis for 36 Hours. Okay.
Yeah. It's just inspired. It's not one-to-one. It's just an inspiration.
Sure.
Yeah, so okay. That. But it's also a clip show. So, well, they saved some bucks there for not having to shoot as much. They still did a two-part episode, but whatever.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
All right, so should we hop into it then?
We should. Let's hop into the fog. That's how it opens.
It does. Okay. So, in our teaser opener,
mm-hmm.
There's the fog, and then like this crypt thing gets pulled up out of it by
a pot of some sort, and
we see a pot thing.
Yeah, we see some people, and they're talking about the cryo reversal, whatever that means.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I wrote down. This had a little bit Star Trek vibes for me for some reason.
Oh, okay. Actually, the whole pod design
mm-hmm.
and that console that they have around it,
mm-hmm.
now that you mention it, yes, that has a very Star Trek set mm-hmm. vibe going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the pod opens.
And here's Jack.
Yeah. I wrote down, it's a somewhat moist Jack in the pod.
Okay, so we have moist Jack. Sorry to all of you who have an issue with that word.
I find the word super funny these days because I'm listening to an audiobook series called Backyard Starship. That is a word that shows up in a really funny context all the time. So, moist.
All right. Awesome. Okay. So, anyhow,
why was he frozen? Is the question, right?
Why was he frozen, and why is he being revived? Mm-hmm. And
he can't.
And so, and there's two people there mm-hmm. That are kind of leaning over him, and they tell him that the year is 2075?
No,
2077. 2077. Mm-hmm. And that the rest of his crew is dead. Sorry, so sorry, Jack. Mm-hmm. Everyone you know is gone. And then we have that kind of what WTF
mm-hmm.
thing going on. And then we cut to the intro.
Yeah, pretty much. So, what did you think when you saw this? Like first impression?
I didn't buy into it at all.
Good.
But why? Because
I mean, in hindsight, I mean, I knew, of course, that this was completely wrong. But like, I mean, you watched it for the first time, so what made you not buy into it?
It doesn't fit with the overall story and premise of Stargate SG-1.
Okay.
So I mean, they're not going to.
It's not a content thing where you're like, oh, whatever, they did something and that kind of told you this is not real. It's more a, okay, in this show, this makes no sense unless it's like there's a plot twist, basically.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. And the whole thing with, and your whole team is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Okay.
They weren't right. Ending the season by replacing three members of the primary cast and rebooting it into a future show.
Okay, that is true.
I just didn't buy into it.
Yeah, I mean, it could have also been like Jack now has to convince someone to do time travel and go back and save his team. Like, that could have been.
Okay, but then here's the other part. They just did a whole time travel episode. They're not.
That is true. That is a good point. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I got it. But yeah, you're right. That was maybe the little point where it's like, okay, that might give away that there's more to it, because why would they wouldn't just get rid of everybody, basically. So also, it would be a pretty boring episode then if it's just Jack.
I agree.
We get a MacGyver episode. I don't know.
Now that would have been super cool.
Yeah, but he also, I know Richard Dean Anderson explicitly did not want that. So,
all right, I can see why he wouldn't want that, and I respect that. Okay. Still, would have been cool to do a MacGyver episode.
That would have been fun. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So how about you? I mean, when you first saw it.
I don't remember it. So it was so long ago. Like, I mean, that was probably in like 2000. I think it came out in Germany somewhere in 2000, mid 2000. So it's probably when I watched it. Okay. And because it takes like a year and a half to get shows to like dubbed into Europe, to Germany, whatever. So we were quite far behind back then. But I don't remember it. So I don't know. I remember watching it over the years and it... Okay. No, I'm not going to tell you what I think about the episode or what I remember about it, because we want to talk about it at the end. The opener, I mean, for me, it's very clear something's going on. Like, this is not real. And for me, it was like, okay, those are probably ghouls. Just the way everything is set up, it's like, yeah, this...
Sure.
Who else would that be? It must be gold.
And I'm with you. Yeah, I figured they had to be gold.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, then we come back from the opening credits and theme. And now we have Jack in, like, a different place.
Yeah, futuristic hospital.
Like the infirmary.
That's okay, what I called it.
And we get the equivalent of the the exposition.
That's so true.
But since we can't have everyone there, they do it in a hospital bed instead.
Yeah. Jake is quite confused, by the way. Like, he's still not 100%. But Trofsky basically does the, as you said, the exposition room. He's like, oh, they were sent back through the Stargate, already frozen, and they didn't, of course, have the tech, so they kept them frozen until the tech is available. We should do a tour.
Yeah. Sorry everyone's dead, but hey, let me show you around.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they ask Jack about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that seems reasonable to me, because if I, for the moment, accept that what they're saying is real.
Are you jumping ahead a little bit? Because I think that happens after this. So they do the tour first.
Okay, and then
they
ask. At least I'm consistent.
Yeah, at least you're consistent. That you should have a t-shirt with that. At least I'm consistent. It's like they do the tour. And it's like it's SGC, but not quite SGC. I don't know if you noticed some subtle differences in the layout of the corridors and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't go back and look at previous episodes,
mm-hmm.
but Did they change the corridor so that they had round supports?
No,
or the supports always
arched? Supports are always like that, but they had like a white thing on the top, like I don't know what it was, so like some cover.
I knew there was something different with.
Yeah, there was like that. There was definitely something. The corridor was usually more like cables and whatever pipes and whatever, and they covered them.
Utilitarian.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Now they covered.
One thing that was different.
Mm-hmm.
Oh crap! Am I mixing up episodes?
Probably.
Previous episode?
The answer is probably yes.
Probably. I remember a moment where we see the Stargate, and the light on the wall behind it is round instead of square.
I mean, it could be that we see that later. I don't remember it at all. So
well, if I'm not going to get it in the right order, I might as well stick with that.
But he. They go around. SGC kind of looks the same. They have, wrote that down, 28 Stargate teams here on Earth and another 10 occupying off-world colonies, what he said.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's when we learn details, air quotes, about why, what happened to the rest of the team.
Well, at least I'm consistent.
Yeah, he says, oh, the rest of the team didn't make it. They were already dead when they came back. And then we get the gate room and we see it and it still looks the same. Maybe that's when you
notice. I think that's where I saw the light behind the Stargate was round instead of square.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's then when we get, they go back to Jack's room basically. And that's when we get the interrogation starts where it's like, oh, what do you remember?
Right. And excuse me, like I was saying, if I accept for a moment that he's really been in suspended animation for years, I could see them wanting to know what happened because there was no one alive or not in suspended animation that could relay information about what happened on that mission.
Yeah, but for about 30 seconds. Because the next questions he asks is about, he asks about stuff about the past and what happened and whatever.
Right, which seemed very odd to me.
Yeah, which is the point where I'm like, okay, like, he's supposedly in Earth future. There's reports about that. He should know about that.
Right, all those reports are there in Stargate Command.
Yeah. And that's when he brings out, oh, we have a new technology that could help you remember if you want. He says, oh, and like, I think supposedly they say, we're at war with the Goa'uld world and we're losing.
And
probably the only bit of truth that they ever tell.
Probably, yeah. The whole thing that we're seeing here, my take is that they want the audience to feel like something's wrong, but not to be able to
know
ferret
exactly.
out right yes. now what the yes. problem is.
Yeah, I mean, the big reveal definitely comes at some later point where it then gets very obvious pretty quickly. But till now, like, something is off, but no, like, most people probably don't know what. But it said it's like for I wrote down, for someone in the future, they're really asking some weird questions about the past.
Yep. And but they could have addressed that by saying, when they're talking about, hey, we're at war with the Goa'uld and we're losing, we have lost a lot of our records.
I mean, either that
please
or...
fill this in for us.
Either that or we want to help you remember what happened on the planet. But so we're using the stuff that happened kind of as a reference point to get you to remember things, and we can confirm that that's the truth, right?
Oh, sure. That'd work too.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I don't remember. I don't think they said that, but maybe it was a deleted scene.
I don't think they said anything like that. Yeah. They just started asking questions.
Yeah, yeah. They go to the lab, and we learn that they have this little tray with little brown discs, basically. And later on, they have a wire attached to them.
Yeah, so they have brain USB ports.
Brain USB port. Yeah, so she had Raleigh comes in and attaches this little pin to Jack's temple. It hurts apparently a lot when she does that, and which is also like weird. Shouldn't they give him then some like sedative or something for that? Mm-hmm. And then she calibrates it. And why I noted down that calibration, I don't know. Did you notice what she was using for calibration?
It sort of looked like an electric toothbrush sort of thing.
It was actually electric nose hair trimmer.
Oh my god. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yes. So
I suppose if the original Star Trek could use salt shakers as devices, a modern show can use a nose hair trimmer.
Oh, not a problem. I mean, there's like Geordi's, like if you know what Geordi's visor was made out of. And
yeah, the
like
hair that. Clip thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the hairband thing. Like, yeah, it's like there's stuff like that. Yeah, but that's when we get into the clip show part. Like they had to save some money and some time, I guess.
So my office manager, Kat, she was sitting next to me while this part starts. Mm-hmm. And I turned to her and I said... And I'm quoting myself almost exactly. Are you fracking kidding me?
Yes. I mean, I knew it was coming because I knew what this episode was about. But yes, I could totally see that reaction. Like it's connected to a future projector that disappears into thin air, like a nice little bit CGI there, whenever they don't need it. And it will show Jack's thoughts. And they use some sedative, something is called like kind of a high-tech hypnosis, they call it
space meth.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Raleigh asks for advanced races that could defeat the Goa'uld. Hint if they're Goa'uld, they of course want to know that.
Right. And I'm sitting here thinking,
yeah,
why in the world would Stargate Command need to ask about other races?
Yeah, they should know all of that already.
They should know all of this. Yeah. And
yes.
And I was having another problem because Jack wasn't questioning why they want him to give them that information.
He's probably drugged. He's been on a drug so far. They just gave him space meth, as you called it.
Yeah. Yeah. Still.
Yeah, of course. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, the writers want it, so it is so. But it's like Jack thinks the Nox, and then we see a few clips from the Nox and how they're healing people. And we see one has the floating city, which is I noted down also for a reason, because that is an updated CGI version of the original episode. It's not the real episode. The floating city is actually new.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, better resolution of that. Yeah, then we get Asgard, also some clips. And I was like, yeah, those people are not U.S. military. I think at that point, it's pretty clear.
Oh, yeah. It's obvious that Jack is being pumped for intel.
Yes. And then the device glitches and they're like, oh, we should let him rest. And they pump some blue fluid into Jack and that's it.
Yeah.
I like that blue fluid thing.
Yeah. Okay. So when they're doing that, it's like, oh, we only have a limited amount of time. We can keep you out of your cryo thing. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep putting you back under. And in that, as that's happening, I'm thinking this is just a weird thing to be doing in an episode that it just feels off. From a production standpoint, this episode just feels off, and then it rolls into a clip episode, and they're losing me at this point, and they put Jack back under, and then we finally get a thing where it's like, oh, it makes sense to do that because of what ended up happening next, which is they go and wake up Sam.
Yes, exactly. And I think that is the point where you're like, okay, there's more going on here. Like, if any of the before things weren't obvious that something is going on, now we know they're lying.
Right. Yeah. And having only one of them conscious at a time.
Sorry, the next one is not Sam yet, by the way.
Oh, well, at least I'm consistent.
Yes. Because we first get another person that's revived, and it's Daniel.
Right. And Daniel with a weird hairdo.
With a new haircut.
Yeah. So he shorter hair. So he's Daniel has weird hair through the whole episode.
That's true. Yes. I was kind of wondering what happened.
It was actually distracting.
Yeah. Did he have another show that he shot and in parallel, and they needed him this weird hair for him, and they're like, it's fine. He's in another facility, so nobody cares. So that's when we're like, okay, they're definitely lying. Like now it's
pretty right.
And then we get
because
another
they give Daniel the same story.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. That they gave Jack.
And then and then Carter. Like there's nothing else that happens with Daniel. He also can't speak. And then we get Carter, but she is able to speak right away.
Well, because she's Carter and she's super smart.
Well, and she also has Nequana in her blood, right?
Oh, I didn't even think about that part. I should have, but my suspension of disbelief has been lost for the episode.
And then I mean she gets woken up and whatever, and then I think they give her the same story, and then the next scene is basically she is sitting on the gurney on whatever, draped in a space blanket. With a memory device. They didn't even give her clothes. Like the others got clothes and got a tour. I mean Jack got a tour before they even did anything. There is like no, she can sit there. Here's the memory device. Just drape the blanket around you. Like, it looks a little sexy, right? So let's do that. And let's talk. Which I'm like...
That whole thing was weird.
That is weird. I mean, no, I know why they did it. Because she is a really beautiful woman. So they want to do that. But it's like, that makes no sense. That makes no sense. And I had a problem with that situation. I'm like, this is just for the... For the situation, they're setting something up that will happen later.
And
made no sense.
It was bothering me, but I couldn't put my finger on what bothered me about it. It just bothered me. But thank you because you articulated what was there, and I just couldn't figure it out. Yeah. That's it. Yeah,
that's it. It was such a weird situation. They didn't even take the 5 seconds to give her clothes and have her get dressed and whatever, wake up and not be groggy. They were like, here's the memory. Basically, they didn't show it, but it's like, here's the memory device and let's go.
Okay, and now we get more clip episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't even write down what because I didn't care. It was like, but there is one thing where Raleigh talks about Apophis and that they want to defeat him or something.
Right.
Or something. And then Carter's like, Apophis, isn't he dead? And that seems to cause a reaction in Raleigh. Like she kind of for a second I think loses her control and then she gets it back. It's like, okay. She does play it cool, like, oh of course Apophis is dead. We were merely stimulating your brain, blah 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 blah, all of that. But it's like
okay, so that ties in to one of the big problems I had with the clips part. Mm-hmm. And we all know I have an issue with doing clip episodes.
Yeah, I mean I understand doing clip episodes, but
doesn't mean that I like them, but I get there's a reason for them.
Yeah, I mean the reason is they needed to save money, right?
So, okay, so here's the problem that I have. We're seeing clips of Sam's memory, but it's clips from the episode.
Yeah.
Her memory. They show this this clip inside Apophis's ship from the season one cliffhanger where it gets blown up and all that.
Yeah, till the end of season two, episode one. Yeah, all of that. But it's the episode.
And we see Apophis and Scara beam out.
Yeah, it's not her memory. I mean,
memory.
I mean, she does know that what happened at the end, or that he survived originally, and she does mention that. But yeah, you're right. It's not her memory. I mean, you would have her memory would be from her perspective as she's watching it, and not the TV show we're watching.
And that brings me to a thought that I had after seeing the whole episode, which is. Yeah. They could have done something really interesting here where they have the same scenes that they want to ask about.
Yeah.
And they refilm them
from their
from the perspective of each actor. I know, but it would have been really interesting.
Yeah. No, it's like, I mean, these other shows, I think they have done it better. I mean, even the original, the politics one was better in that sense, because it was not supposed to be their memory, what they showed. Home Improvement. I mean, they did clip episodes, but they were so obviously clip. It was like, oh, like whatever, I'm like, Tim is sick and he's sitting on the couch and he's rewatching old episodes of his show. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, it's still a freaking clip episode, and sure, but that makes sense.
Yeah, it's so. I don't know if you're picking up on this, but I'm having some issues with this episode.
Me too. I think if you're picking up on that, as well, like I have massive problems with this episode. Yeah. So she wants to learn how they defeated Apophis, and that's it. We switch to Daniel. Where Trotsky is asking the same thing, basically. He wants to know, like, who could defeat Apophis, or which Goa'uld could be a danger, I think. And he's like, oh yeah, I mean, how about Herrur? And they show Herrur. And how about Hathor? Hint, hint. I wrote down hint, hint.
Yeah.
We learned that Hammond lived until happily lived until 90, he was 93 and then died.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, it's not important at all.
I mean, as you say it, I'm like, oh yeah.
It's not important at all. It's just something that Trotsky drops. And then we get a even bigger reveal.
Oh, right. This is where we finally see Teal'c.
Correct. And you would have thought, okay, we've seen 3 out of 4. Like, Teal'c is probably going to have the same experience and wake up and be like, hey, you're the future.
But instead, it's
he does wake
it's our
up.
Favorite doctor.
He does wake up.
And Hammond.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He does wake up in an infirmary, but it's actually the real SGC. Because, yeah, Hammond and Fraser are there, and they ask him, where's the rest of SG-1? And Teal'c doesn't really know. It's like, I haven't sent SG-3 and SG-7, and they found Teal'c basically next to, I think, the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And Teal'c, the only thing he remembers is there was a mixture of Horus and Serpent Guards, which is unusual.
Yep, that's unusual.
They would usually be fighting each other. And Teal'c wants to return.
And they're right, like, and
we get that whole interaction, that where we learn that Teal'c was not only, we thought, he woke up and he's fine, right? But in reality, he was unconscious for 3 weeks and he was barely alive. And Fraser actually spent 3 weeks at his side and refused to give up on him.
That's our Fraser.
Mm-hmm. And it's dropped like a little side thing, but I think that was quite significant that she is committed. She's like, I'm going to save him no matter. And that Hammond says she didn't want to give up on him basically tells me that there was a discussion about that, where it's like, oh, should we stop?
And she would not.
And she said no.
Yeah, the whole thing with Fraser not giving up on Teal'c, mm-hmm. that's important. It also establishes how long the rest of the team has been held captive.
Yes.
By the fake
yeah.
SG.
Yeah, and I mean, if that wasn't enough, Hammond also mentions all the things he's tried, how he tried to find them, and he's like, yeah, they could basically be anywhere at this point. They're not on the planet.
Right, yeah. But Teal'c isn't having it,
mm-hmm.
And he says, and of course, this is a paraphrase. Mm-hmm. Look, if you're not going to authorize me to go hunt mm-hmm. for them, I quit so yeah. I can go hunt for them.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what he says. And that's
Hammond's
what he
does. Nope, I can't let you do that.
Yeah, and I don't know what Teal'c says to convince him.
Teal'c says, you know I would die before I'd reveal anything.
Oh, that's true.
It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, it's been great working with you.
Yeah, pretty much, yes. And then Teal'c hands back his jacket, his SG jacket, basically. Hammond doesn't.
And I had a horrible problem with this whole scene.
Okay.
With the whole, I'm going to quit. No, you're not. Hey, look, I'm not going to tell anyone anything. Okay. Well, then you can go ahead and quit. Because of the security risk that Teal'c poses.
No, I don't. If it, no, I do.
I
don't agree. I think that does make sense. I mean, Hammond doesn't want him to go for multiple reasons. Like one is, I think the security risk is just the excuse he uses to say, oh, but your security risk can't let him go. I think that the reality is that Hammond is not willing to just let Teal'c go alone on a wild goose chase without any leads, right? There's zero leads. Hammond has followed up on anything he could find. He literally, like, he was like, anything he asked everybody he could, like, he just doesn't want to let him just go, because, I mean, that's, Teal'c is the, let's go and just, let's just go and figure it out type, and he doesn't want him to let him go. And the security thing is, like, I think Hammond knows that Teal'c would never reveal it. I mean, Teal'c has been on so many missions, and has been so many missions where he could have just done it, and he never did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, at this point, I think he knows he can trust him, and Teal'c just reminds him and says, basically, I have to do this, and you know I would die rather than do anything else. And that convinces him, and he said, okay, he still can't send another team with him because there is nothing they can do. And it's not until they have a lead. I'm pretty sure if they had a lead, then Hammond would happily be like, okay, take SG's 17 and 4 and go somewhere. I don't think there's 17 teams.
Yeah.
But, okay, 11 and 4. And or 9 and 4, the diplomat team. Go somewhere and figure it out.
Sure.
But he doesn't. And he also, like, from a military perspective, can't right now. It's too risky.
Yeah, it's...
So I think he's okay with... I mean, and at the end of the day, Teal'c is right. He is not one-off target program, right? He's not military. Like, he's whatever, outside contract.
He's like Daniel.
He's like Daniel, yeah. So he can quit if he wants to. And Hammond could keep him for security reasons, for sure, and he tries to, but he's also, he knows that that's kind of thin ice, kind of.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I still have issues with the whole scene, and I believe it just underscores the overall problems I'm having with the
episode. No, 100%. It's just very poorly written and very short. It's like, oh, they don't have a long discussion about it. It's like, oh, you can't go, but I want to. Okay. It's basically that's what it boils down. I want to go. You can't, but I want to. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. You just encapsulated that entire...
Yes.
Encapsulated?
Yes.
Is that right?
Summarized, encapsulated, whatever, works.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So Teal'c, he gets back in his
we get
fancy robes.
No, we get to that. We have a small scene in between.
Oh,
this is where,
right.
Any doubts, if you still believe that this whole thing is true and they're really in the future, then this is the end, basically, because now you, like, it's clear. Because Jack wakes up and then he hears Trotsky and Raleigh talk.
Well, he didn't even wake up. Because we see he's got the line pinched in his hand.
Okay, so he already had some doubts, and now he's...
Right, so he was faking to be asleep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he already had his doubts, which is good, because he should have. Yes.
Right.
So now it's clear they're gold. Right, so anybody wasn't sure what was going on, then this is kind of in your face now.
Right. So,
yeah. So, and then Jack removes the line from his chest, and then he knocks out the tech who's, like, he coughs, I think, and the guy comes over and he knocks him out, basically. And then we get the Teal'c scene in SGC.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite scenes, to be honest, in this.
You know, I'm with you. Actually, I feel like this is the best scene in the entire episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's just not a high bar.
Right. In any other episode, I feel like this would just be another nice scene.
Yeah. An
when you remember, but it's not the high point of the episode.
It's not.
But yeah, so he's in his robes. He's got his Jaffa staff, and and there's a whole military lineup for him, and everyone salutes.
He's leaving with all honors. Like, there's really an honor guard, and Hammett is there. And like, it's not like, oh, bye, go do your thing. Like, they're leaving him with all honors, and it's like Tilk says, like, to Hammond, like, I've learned, like, thank you, and I've learned a lot from you. And Hammond says, I've learned a lot from you too, Tilk. So I think you're very even on that account. It's a really nice.
Sentiment. Hammond salutes him.
Yes.
And then Tilk, for the first time, salutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, as I said, that is a really nice, really moving scene. Like, how he is, from what we think, for living forever. SGC.
Yeah. So, okay. So then we go back and we have a common problem that I see in TV shows.
Yes.
So Jack, he is disguising himself to look like someone else.
Yeah.
In the facility. So he takes the clothes from the doctor, tech, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he had that much clothes to begin with, so it was probably a good thing. He needed clothes anyway.
True, but they fit him nicely.
Yes, I have that. Actually, for Jack, I'm still like, the tech and Jack were kind of similar, so I'm like, yeah, that could be fine. I have the problem a little bit later, in a second.
That's where it becomes an even bigger problem for me, way later. Yep.
Yes. So, but I like the clothes are actually nice. I like that this kind of an eggshell kind of outfit, and it's like it looks futuristic, but also quite comfy, but also quite nice. Like, he looks good.
Okay, so I hadn't planned on having a costume discussion.
Okay,
the military costumes, uniforms in this episode look stupid to me.
Yes.
They look like someone was desperate to try and make
futuristic.
Yes.
No, I agree.
But then we get these, the lab costumes.
Yeah, they're really nice.
And they're really nice. I think they look good.
Yeah. Yeah, I fully 100% agree with you. So Jack walks into what he thinks is an elevator, but it's, and this is like, I mean, another in-your-face thing. It's like a Google style, like, wall.
Yes.
Wall, door, turns out.
Yes. And the only reason he can do it is because he has the key card that he took from
the tech.
The tech that he just knocked out.
Yes. Yeah. And afterwards, I mean, there's a little bit of action-ish now. It's not super interesting, but it's like, oh, it's a gold facility. We see Jaffa horse and serpent guards, as Tilk said.
And I felt like that whole thing was really slow.
It was slow, and then they made it even slower with like a clip show because it triggers a memory from something. I don't even remember what, because it was so in. I skipped over. Honestly, it was
just like this random thing that happened. Yes. Yeah.
They just needed another minute or so. there's another door and another SGC fake. And it's the Carter one.
Yep. Okay. Yes, that's right. Okay. So now here's where we start having more problems for me with the episode. And this is where I could articulate the issues I was having with Sam not having been dressed yet.
Yes.
Because they make it very clear the way they do this whole scene. Sam is naked with just a space blanket.
Yes.
And
and the space blanket Jack goes, has like, to up come to, and like, rescue your, her. Your chest and barely covers anything.
Yeah, it was so obvious what they were doing, and it bugged me.
It did bug me as well. I'm like, that makes absolutely zero sense. And Jack helpfully suggests trading clothes with that guy because he knocked out.
Yeah, he had knocked out the tech that was in her room. Yeah,
and this is where I get the other problem because they walk out of that infirmary room or whatever, and I was like, that guy had a quite feminine figure. Because the clothes work perfectly for her.
Yeah, they're tailored for her.
Yes. I'm like,
Yep. they look good. I had an issue with that
as well. Yeah, they look good, but it's like, yeah, this doesn't work that way. Yeah, Mortifa, they can't, they talk about pulling out the memory device, and I think Carter says it might cause some pretty nasty damage, so maybe not.
Yeah.
They go to another SGC, and they find Daniel. And then they're like, okay, the year is 1999, and this is all a big hoax.
Yeah.
Okay. Sam opens a door, and there's just a wall behind, and then Jack says something.
But it's obviously a Jaffa wall.
Yeah, it's a very Jaffa wall, and there's a comment that I noted down, and because Jack says something. He criticizes the cheap quality of the fake Stargate grant. He said, calling it a damn cost-cutting. And that was very likely, of course, a joke inserted by the writers to acknowledge that they had to cost-cut in this show and use clips.
That's funny.
Yes.
Yeah. I did like that... when they're looking in the gate room, that they make it very obvious they're looking at just props. Daniel opens up the cabinet.
Yeah, there's no weapons.
and there's like no weapons, there's no equipment, no the hardware. Gate's
completely fake.
So what I loved about this scene is that they're obviously on the set. Mm-hmm. And they're just looking at the set the way it's actually constructed for actual filming.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're calling out the way the set is designed.
Yeah, that's so true.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Daniel asked actually a very good question. Like, who would have spent enough time in the base to be able to reproduce it in this kind of detail? And they're like, you don't think Apophis did that? Or he wants to say that, but then we get the big reveal.
And there's Hathor.
Yay. And Jack says, oh, I was so hoping never to see you again.
And I did like that line.
Yeah. And then with that, all the Jaffa and the fake SGC personnel and everybody shows up.
Right. And Daniel makes a comment about how it's weird to have the two different Jaffa groups together.
That happens a little bit later, a couple seconds later. No, there's one important thing I wanted to mention between, because she talks about Daniel, his beloved, and all of that, and we get, I think, a clip from that, maybe. No, actually, we got that earlier. And then I think Jack is like, oh, be careful, Daniel, she might, like, woo you with her
mist. Magic breath again.
Yeah, and she says, oh, like, you think we would go through all of this if the I think she calls them the organisms would still be working on you.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So, I'd forgotten about that too.
Yeah. So they're already immune. And that's when we learn that she's collecting forces from other system lords, and like, she's been kind of nibbling on the outskirts and trying to secretly, silently amass forces to fight them. And that's why she took SGC, because, and I think, was it Jack who points it out? They know more than her.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she's been in hiding, or in hiding. She's been imprisoned for centuries. So they know more.
Right. So Jack's right. But at the same time, she's been recruiting Jaffa from other system lords. You'd think they would have some information.
Yeah, but I mean, probably not as much, because it's not that the Gold are very much, other than conquest, they're not very much interested in a lot else. Especially when she wants to fight them, it's probably, and she wants out, I mean, she says even so, she wants outside help. And that is probably not something she can get from the Jaffa, because they're usually kept dumb anyway, especially the ones that she can recruit, because they're not the first primes or whatever who would have access.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But even if they knew something, it's about internal things and not external forces.
Yeah, but you'd think word of Apophis potentially being killed would work its way down the ranks.
I mean, he's also not dead. We know that, but...
So, yeah.
But she mentions, we are prepared to offer you a life of luxury as servants in our royal court for sharing information. Deny us and you will not enjoy the alternative.
And I think this is where Jack gives us one of his snark lines.
Yes, like, he's like, you know,
brush your teeth or something.
Yeah, he said, you know, you really should do something about the breath. And yeah. Hathor reveals that she wants to contact the Asgard for an alliance and wants to know, like, where she could contact them. And Jack says, try Roswell, little place in New Mexico. Yeah,
which that's very Jack.
Yeah, and then she moves on to Carter and asks her for a GDO code, for the GDO code, which of course Carter does not reveal. She's not stupid.
Right.
And then she's like, oh, well, there's an alternative. She has a symbiote that is mature. And she's like, our friend here is ready for a host. Tell us which one of you it shall be. Why they didn't do that in the first place is a different question. But
right.
And that's when we get the to be continued.
So she pulls the CGI Goa'uld out of her CGI beefcake servant.
Oh, that's true.
her pool boy.
Mm-hmm.
And
pool boy, like, yeah.
And so now pool boy's gonna die because he doesn't have his symbiote.
They could give him a new one. I mean, he's a Jaffa, as far as I know. So,
sure. Or you know, she. Yeah.
This is, by the way, this is Fraser Atkinson. I think he's even a wrestler or something.
Oh, okay.
That's so.
Anyhow, so she's got the Goa'uld. Which one of you am I going to put this in?
Yeah.
And so that's our big cliffhanger moment, and I'm like. And you didn't even give me a real cliffhanger.
No, really. It's like the answer is, of course, none of them.
Of course the answer is none of them.
Yes.
And I mean, it'll be a thing where it's going to be, oh my God, it's really about to happen. And this will be at the beginning of season 3.
Yeah.
And then something happens where it doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. So. I mean, it's a TV show, so like some of it is predictable.
Yeah.
And so that's the end, though.
If you're going to give me a cliffhanger, give me something where...
Like
where
season 1 cliffhanger, right?
Right. We don't know what's going to... I mean, we assume that our team is going to survive, but we don't know how they get out of this mess.
Yes.
And with this one, they give us a cliffhanger where
it's
we know what comes next isn't this.
Yeah.
Well, so it's not a cliffhanger.
No, I disagree. I think it is a cliffhanger because, I mean, we know they're going to get out, right?
We just don't know how.
I assume, exactly. We don't know how. We don't know what's going to happen and how they're going to get out of that mess. And I think that is the cliffhanger. They are in danger.
So it's a cliffhanger that doesn't hook me.
Okay, that fair point. It does not. But there is still a cliffhanger in the sense that it's like, okay, how are they going to get out? I mean, we know they will, but how? Like, is it going to be Teal'c? Are they going to... Is one of them going to get a Goa'uld implanted? I mean, it's not impossible, right? It doesn't
it's
feel
not
like it, but it is possible.
Yeah.
Secret spy Goa'uld, maybe, again?
Yeah,
we've had that before. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But, I think we both agree there's a lot of problems with this one.
Yeah. This is an episode where if it had been mid-season or early season, I would have been like, that wasn't okay, fine.
Yeah, filler. But like last time, it's like before the big finale, there's like a filler. Okay, we need one more episode clip show.
Right. But this was not appropriate as an end of season episode.
Yeah. And that is fundamentally, as you said, fundamentally, that is my problem with this episode. It's like, I mean, I don't think anybody is a big fan of clip shows. I don't know why. I mean, no, I know why they're done, but I don't know why anybody thinks they're a good idea. There's probably other ways how you can save money and do shit, but okay. Like the bottle episodes, like just stay in a room or stay in a base or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in a little starship. shuttle. Spend an entire episode in a shuttle. Why not?
Sure.
Two people in a shuttle. It's more Star Trek, but it's like there's ways of doing this.
You could do with that.
There's ways of doing this. Yeah, but it's like, I mean, they knew at this point, I think, that they had the commitment for four seasons. So in a way, they could afford doing this. But for a show that is now two seasons old, that's a pretty weak thing for people to wait for. As you said, it didn't hook you. It didn't hook me. I'm not sure it hooked anybody. I mean, some people seem to like it. There, it has the same as politics. It has some interesting aspects, right? It's not a bad show. It's not a bad episode per se. It has some aspects where, like, okay, this is an interesting concept. The whole concept of, okay, they've been captured, someone's pretending that they're in the future to get information. That's not a bad idea.
It's a very clever idea. The execution of it was lacking.
Exactly.
And going back to politics for a minute, politics was a wasted episode because there was so much potential for what they could do, and they had Ronnie Cox. It didn't need to be a clip episode.
Yeah.
This one. They failed to execute on this one. And I don't see the redeeming part in this one, at least not yet.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. No, it's like, there is,
I mean, it's possible they could do something with season 3, episode 1, where I'm like, all right, they kept it up and they recovered it.
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, it's like I have to remember what happens, but honestly, like even if season 3, episode 1 was the greatest episode ever, I don't know if it is, but if let's say
it wouldn't fix this episode.
Exactly, that's the problem. It would not fix the stupid beginning.
So okay, so here's my concern. They could have a really strong season 3, episode 1. Despite what this episode was, or it could just continue on and we have to get past season 3, episode 1 before we have strong episodes again.
Yes.
And could. I don't want to see them start off the season on a weak point. So, okay, here's what they could do with this, which could turn it into a really interesting, powerful season 1 or season 3, episode 1.
Yeah, but we should talk about the season 3 predictions in a separate episode.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I will hold my thoughts
Hold your thoughts, because I think we should talk about that separately, do a little recap, and then see where season 3 could take us at some other point.
Yeah. All right, so then it's probably more appropriate for me to say, Patrice, what do you think, and what do you rate this? How many chevrons does it get?
Oh my gosh, that is such a hard question. There is aspects I liked, and there's aspects I skipped over, which was all the clips. I literally skipped over all the clips. I was like, I don't have time for this, and I'm not watching.
I got up and got snacks.
Okay.
While they were clipping.
Yeah, right. I was outside, and I was like, I'm just doing something else. It's not Emancipation.
That's true. It's not Emancipation.
So it's kind of a middle of the road. There's some good aspects. There's some fun stuff. There's some interesting sets. Like, the sets were not bad, which is even more surprising given what it was. So they spent clearly some money on CGI and sets, but then didn't spend it on, like, actually having an episode. It's like,
yeah, okay. Where'd the money go?
Yeah, probably they needed it for season 3, episode 1, I guess, and that's why they built all of the sets. But it's like, that makes absolutely no sense. Use them. Like, figure out a way how to use them. Is it a 2? Is it a 3? I think it's just a 3. It's not crap, it's not great, it's a 3. But no, it's 3 in middle right now. I mean, we go to 8, but I don't want to give it a 4. So,
yeah,
I'll give it a fair. I don't care, to be honest. The 3 is I really don't care about this episode. Not one way or another. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just Yeah.
It's just there.
Yeah, just there. Forgotten and never watched again. I skipped. I can tell you one thing. I skipped this episode.
Okay.
Nothing important happens. Skip.
I couldn't skip watching this one because I have to watch them. Yes. I haven't seen them yet.
Yes, we had to.
I had problems with execution on this episode from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was having problems with this episode that go beyond what I would normally complain about.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm swearing at my cat and I'm getting up and getting snacks and not pausing the TV.
Yes.
At one point, I was scrolling through Mastodon while the episode was playing. And realized, oh, I can't do this. I have to watch and pay attention so I can talk about this. There were problems with we've talked about so many of the problems. But when we get to the end of the episode and I'm not hooked and actually not interested in what's going to happen next, that's a big, big problem. When I was halfway through the episode, I was thinking, well, maybe it's a generous 5. And then as it's going on, I'm like, well, maybe it's a generous 4. And then as the episode ends, I'm like, is this a 2 or a 3? It's not Emancipation, so it's not a 1.
Yeah. No, I think Emancipation got a 0 from us, if I remember correctly.
True. And it's better than Emancipation. So yes. it would get a chevron.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, I've been very torn. Is this a 2 or a 3? Because straight up, I didn't like this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And even after working through some of the issues that I've had with the episode, so thank you for being my therapist on this, I don't want to give it a generous 3.
Okay.
So it is. I feel like it's a 2.
I was almost
so disappointed that they ended the season with this.
I was almost with you. Except that I was like, what's a I don't care rating, and that's a 3 for me.
When I say I don't care about this episode, that's actually not true. I care about it enough to be disappointed.
Okay, then the 2 makes sense because I really don't care. So I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm bummed. Yeah. That's how they ended this season.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm glad that they already had the deals in place for 2 more seasons.
Yeah.
Because
if it is, I mean, to be honest, and we'll talk about that in the review of or recap of season 2. The season itself was quite strong. It's just the cliffhanger was.
Oh yeah, I was very pleased with season 2.
Yeah. So it's just this one, and the previous episode was one of the best. So like for sure. So that. That's why it's so. I think that is why it's so disappointing, because it's like the rest of the season was actually pretty good, and then at the end they put this in, and you know, endings matter. That's what people remember.
They do.
I mean, maybe in this case not, because these days we can just keep watching and just continue and be like, yeah, whatever. But back then, I mean, it matters.
Back then, if I was watching the show when it first aired and mm-hmm. didn't know it had already been renewed for 2 more seasons, I would have been very concerned that this was the last episode of the entire show.
Yeah. I mean, I'm relatively certain that it was already announced because the next season already started in June. So this was March, I think. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah. Okay. But that's, I think that's enough for this. I don't want to spend more time on it.
I am so with you. All right. Well, then in that case, Patrice, mm-hmm. where can people find you?
Well, every week, almost every week with you on the British Tech Network, big show, Mac show, most of the time. Sometimes traveling or stuff happens where I can't. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com, takes you there. Like the projects, the podcasts, social media things, all of that. Awesome. How about you, Jeff?
How about Jay Gamut on the various socials? I already gave a spoiler by saying I was scrolling Mastodon, so you can find me there.
Yeah.
And Blue Sky and Pixel Fed. And sometimes I look at the other social medias. And then for shows, you've already listed places where you and I can be found together. So I'll toss out just two more.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live and Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. But there are more. You can find me all around. But then people can find both of us at the website, RetroRewatch.com, on Blue Sky at RetroRewatch.com, and Mastodon, where RetroRewatch at TechHangout.social. Did I get it right?
Correct. Yes. TechHangout.social.
Correct. And, and if you want to email us, hello@RetroRewatch.com. Cool. Did I actually get all of them, Patrice?
Yes, I think you did.
Oh, awesome. All right. So, I'm holding predictions for when we do our official predictions.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. We will do a little cliffhanger as well on our side. Not so long. Not like a couple of months. I hope at least. We'll do a little cliffhanger for you so that you also get to experience what it was back then, like that you had to wait for the next season to come.
But our cliffhanger won't be disappointing.
No, there will still be episodes, just different ones.
Yes.
Stay tuned. Some cool stuff going to happen. Not just...
Well, that's is that a teaser or a cliffhanger right there?
That is a cliffhanger right there.
Okay.
Or a teaser.
Whatever.
Whatever.
It's all good. All right, so is it time for us to close the iris?
In this case, there's no iris because the gate is fake, so just, I don't know.
Oh, right. So all we need to do is turn off the set lights.
Yes.
And go home and then surprise everyone with what's coming next.
Great.
All right. Awesome. All right. Bye, Patrice.